listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 202 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. You alright, Sean?
I'm very, very good. Wasn't 202 the room in the hotel where they dumped all the stuff?
Which hotel?
Isn't there a programme about room...
Oh, that's room 101. Room 101, close.
It was a couple of floors up.
It was what was the one in The Shining as well? I think that was 127, maybe.
Was it?
Or something, yeah. Some weird stuff went on. 173, 172, something like that.
So room 101, not 202.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're off to a good start there, hey?
Yeah. I'm on the ball, you can tell.
For equally as wonderful intros to shows, check out liveinthepresent.co.uk. We always nail it first time, don't we, Sean?
Yes.
All previous episodes available there, as well as the show notes, links to everything we talk about, and blog posts, because Sean does a blog post for every single
one
of these.
They're amazing. Should publish them as a
book. I never read them. I don't know.
Yes.
I just don't
know what you've missed. It could have changed your life. You know? I mean, you could be meditating regularly, all kinds of stuff. I could.
We'll talk about that shortly, I'm sure.
My name's not Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley. So check it out. Also, while you're on there, check out clearmindcushion.com. There'll be a link from the page for this blog post.
Yeah.
And if you use the code self-help, all one word, you'll get 10% discount on a fantastic meditation cushion.
Yeah, and we've got the feedback that people have been taking up that offer.
They have, yeah, they have.
Starting, which is
Chris,
good.
Who developed and designed and has produced these fantastic cushions, has been selling a few through the show, which is brilliant. So actually, if you are a listener through the show who's got grab one of them, drop us an email and let us know what you think and how you've got on with it. I'm sure Chris would really appreciate the feedback.
But
really cool product. My meditation is not going well at all.
Yeah, you are.
I'm shocking, aren't I?
You are. Shocking is the word. Shocking.
I've actually deleted Headspace. I don't like Headspace, the app. It was annoying me a little bit. I do like Calm. I don't know if you've got that installed on your phone, calm.com.
Calm.com.
Go there and download the app. More from a design perspective, it's a beautiful designed app, which I've actually started work on our app. Design-wise, which I'm going to take a few little.
So are you looking at these apps from the point of design or from the point of content?
Well, both, really. But design, more just kind of functionality, because functionality is design. They're both. Headspace looks great, and it works well as well, I thought, but I just found Calm a more calming place to be.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So are we going to get sponsored by Calm now?
Well, we should do, really. Should drop them a line. Have us over. I think they're based in California.
Are they?
Schmooze us, because if you want to get on this show, you've got to put in the hard work. Anyway, how are you doing? You okay?
I'm good. It's been Easter. So,
it has?
Yeah. And we always have the family jollies here, so we had loads of people around.
Do you have a big clan
Easter
of festivities? Orfords and whatnots and the rest of it?
Yeah, the whatnots are right here. Yeah.
Did you cook up a feast, a store?
Yeah, it was good. It's always good to cook for people. It's like, it's that love thing we were talking about before, is it? The altruism.
It is.
Yeah, it's good.
It's one of the most wonderful things you can do for people, isn't it?
It's giving them life.
We got back for Easter, but we'd been away to Northumberland for the week before, which was cool. Managed to unplug from my emails completely for a week. Nothing came in at all, which was, well, emails did, but I was unaware of them until I got back. No emergencies.
Yeah.
Which is cool, and Northumberland delivered again, as ever.
Wonderful, lovely place.
Part of the world.
Yeah.
Weather was good. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, I saw the pics. It looked good.
Yeah, it was good. And actually, the podcast for last week, 201, I uploaded the night before, and I opened my laptop and I had like 18% battery left, which, and my laptop's quite old now, so that meant I had about 10 minutes to
do it.
And I got it done with, Will was sitting next to me watching the percentage countdown, and it was on 1%, and I was on MailChimp getting the email ready to go out. Just a little note to say, if you sign up to our newsletter via the website, you get an email every week with the show link, don't you? And just about hit confirm for the email to schedule it for the morning.
And it went.
And then the battery died literally 10 seconds later.
Because you're off grid up there, aren't you?
Yeah, well, that's it. I should have said before. No electricity in our little, on our site where we've got our caravan.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, worst case, I could have legged it to my auntie's down the road, but
yeah.
I didn't really want to do it. It was dark outside and yeah.
Yeah.
Just about got in there.
Very good.
And enjoyed our week. But yeah, should we talk about this week's show, which is Attitude Alignment, isn't it?
Yeah. And I was reading an article, which we got the link up. It was one that was on Gizmodo.
Yep, we'll put that in our show notes, of course.
And it was talking about how it's become provable through research that you can blame your friends if you're a lethargic, lazy person. Because what tends to happen is that our own attitudes align to the group that we're with.
Yeah.
And that would work the other way around, I guess, so that if you want to be, if you're kind of energetic, you're with a bunch of people. I mean, they always say, don't they, like on things like The Secret and Harv Eker, they're always saying, mix with the kind of people that you want to be.
Yeah, this is kind of basic self-help stuff that you get in all the
yeah,
especially business-related, where you want to build a business. It's about aligning yourself with people that are successful, maybe even picking out a mentor in particular that you can spend a lot of time with.
And try and align your attitudes with theirs.
Yep.
Yeah. And it just seems a really interesting article. And I was thinking about when I was young and sharing flats and houses with people, that one of the things that you noticed was that all the females' menstrual cycles would start to align.
Yeah, that's actual science, isn't it? I know that. That's just like an old wives' tale.
It's a pheromonal thing, yeah.
My wife, when she was at uni, she lived with, I think, six of them in the house, six girls, six of them.
Yeah.
Them girls.
Yeah.
And yeah, it did happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. So yeah.
And we know from research too that if you've got a group of people, like say you're running a group, and as the group starts to harmonise over a couple of weeks, starts to form, you can check people's heart rates and respiration and they all start to match in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we have this thing. And if you think about it, any group beings, like a herd of wildebeests, they need to all tune into each other because they're safety in the pack and they work it, don't they? That people on the inside, wildebeests on the inside, are moving to the outside all the time. People on the outside are moving to the inside. So there's this turnover of people that are on the outside.
Yeah.
Same with flocks of birds and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to do that, there has to be an alignment, like an unspoken agreement, I guess. Yeah. But the thing that came out to me when I was looking at it...
do you want a glass of water, Sean?
Yeah, go on.
Blimey. This is some jug.
You've got to be a tough man to live that. I don't mess around with jugs.
Yeah, go on.
Thank you. That if you look at any couple, then you're in a situation where... there's going to be an alignment, and I in the results I'll come back to later on, but I was looking at some research that was talking about how a woman had come into a relationship with a man and never ever been into any kind of sport or team stuff, and within a matter of months she's now become a rabid supporter of this team of people and is quite sort of fanatical about it because her attitudes have aligned with those of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that kind of concept, that idea that our attitudes are aligning with those people around us, takes me into all kinds of much bigger areas, especially because this week we're talking about going for a general election, which we need to come back to in another
episode.
I'm sure
we will. Yeah. We should just start a whole other politics podcast, shouldn't we? Self-help politics podcast.
Self-help political party. but the idea that if people's attitudes are aligning, it's bigger than a group, isn't it? It's bigger than a couple. It starts to happen in families. It starts to happen in nations. You know, the whole thing starts to expand out. And one of the biggest things that has happened, and I keep hearing it all the time now, whether it's the Trump end or whether it's the Brexit end, we start talking about fake news.
Oh, yeah.
So how many
How
many people's attitudes start to align to something which isn't even real?
Yeah.
Yeah? You gave me an example earlier on about fake news aligning.
I know. Well, it's just really frustrating. I mean, maybe it's because things aren't going mine or our way politically at the moment, so I'm just kind of feeling a bit done by. I've seen a few instances recently, or in the last few months, where articles on Facebook have popped up or like the quotes, those little quotes with images with quotes on them, kind of politically motivated. And one was about refugees and how much refugees can claim if they come to the UK, and how compared to how much a pensioner on just the basic pension will get over the course of a year, a refugee will get £20,000, and the pensioner will get £6,000, and they've been here their whole lives, and they've worked their asses off, and all that. And people were liking it, and family members of mine had actually liked it, and obviously someone else on there from my family had seen it and said, "Oh yeah, I don't mind that. I'm going to like that. That's ridiculous." And I was like, my skeptical light bulb went on because it sounded bad, but I typed in the exact first line from the quote, put it into Google, and the first page was one of these fact check thingies, and it said, "Oh yeah, this quote's doing the round on Facebook. It's false, completely false. It's been discussed in Parliament. It's been that widely circulated. It's wrong here. Here are the stats, how much refugee we'll get after month 1, 2, 3, yada, yada." Completely blew it out of the water. So I then went back to my family members and just said, "Listen, I've seen this popped up on my wall. You've shared it, whatever. It's false. Can you unshare it?" And thankfully they did. But then I clicked into the original source, and it had been shared like 30,000 times in a couple of hours, and it was just going off around the world, and I just had this sense of like, oh my God, why, there's nothing we can do, because there's that Harv Eker quote about how that crap travels at the speed of crap.
Yeah,
but now,
which is real slow.
Yeah, but now crap or bullshit travels at the speed of light.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And you can't stop it. It was out there, and I reported it to Facebook's. I used the tools there, and it didn't go down, and that commented underneath, and a lot of other people had actually commented saying, "This is false, here's the link, can you take this down?" And it hadn't been taken down days after, and people were actually commenting saying, I don't care if it's false, I want to believe it.
And yeah, it's that's like, mad, isn't
it? I'm just tearing my hair out.
Attitude alignment.
So yeah, they didn't align my attitude on that occasion, but I didn't manage to align anyone else's attitude except for the people that were there on fighting my cause as well.
But if you think about children born in any culture, that culture has its own attitude that the group align to. But very often there is a religion in the family, and whether it's Islamic, Christian, Buddhist, Jewish, Hindu, whatever it is, the attitudes of the people within that group, that family, are likely to align to the belief of the faith that they're taught. Yeah. And if any of those individuals had been born into any of those families, they would have aligned whatever the attitudes were that were given to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that idea that these attitudes that we're talking about are not questioned. We don't question it. It's that thing that I say about people say to me, "It's just the way that I am." And I say, "No, it's the way you've learned to be." Yeah. Because we just take this stuff on like drinking water. And then once we do it and it's become embedded in our paradigm, that our attitudes are aligned into being the same as our group, unless we question them. And that's what mindfulness is about.
Yeah, it can go a bit far sometimes, though. You're on it. Again, social media, which is, it's just endlessly fascinating, isn't it, at the moment? And frustrating. I saw an article about black holes pop up on Facebook, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't actually read the article because when I started to figure out where it had come from, it was a proper scientific article trying to explain a new finding, and below it was a comment from a friend of mine who's sort of a distant friend now. I went to primary school with him, and we just kind of sort of keep in touch via Facebook without chatting to each other, and he'd put a comment on it about the Earth being flat, and there's a whole, I don't know if you know about this, there's a whole flat Earth movement out there.
It doesn't still exist.
It still exists.
The Flat Earth Society.
Bigger than ever in some ways. Like Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball player, he's a believer now all of a sudden. And I didn't get in touch with this guy because there's just no point. But like, how do people get into the Flat Earth stuff? It's not... Well, maybe it is flat. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe our alignment, our attitudes are just aligned the wrong way. I'm assuming you don't believe the Earth is flat.
No, I'm not a Flat Earther. No.
Because there are questions I want to ask. And there are actually websites, because I shared it with a friend or two, just to say, what the hell is this guy going on about? And we were chatting about it. And there are all websites that kind of try to explain questions you might have about how far do you have to dig before you get to the bottom of the flat Earth? What happens? Do you just fall out of the bottom? or where are the edges of the flat Earth, and
can you fall off the end?
That kind of thing. About, you know, obviously, we've been to space and we've looked back at Earth, and it seems to be round.
Mm.
So there are all theories for all these things.
Yeah, but then if you're a conspiracy theorist, I can remember people saying that the Vietnam War never actually happened. It was all filmed in jungles.
Well, yeah, there are conspiracy theories for all sorts of Holocaust deniers, big time. JFK. It's quite an interesting one, actually. I'm tempted to go with the whole JFK was killed by the American government one. 9/11? Was that? Was that an inside job? So in some ways, those kind of conspiracies, they are tempting to believe, and you almost want to in some way, don't you? Because it's just that kind of fascination about this weird, mysterious world.
Mm.
But how would you convince a flat earther that the Earth is not flat? Are we going to have to wait till space flight is cheap enough so that we can all just go off and have a look and go round the whole Earth?
I guess one of the things that I question in it, in when you get into this idea of our psychological ability to either adapt or be adapted to a stream of consciousness or a stream of thought, is the issue about, should we be attempting to realign people's attitudes? I mean, when people are going around demanding that other people, the rest of the world, should convert to their religion or to their political view, these things, although the alignment might be that this is the truth, the alignments are partial, aren't they? That there's a percentage of people that would see the truth in conservatism or socialism or whatever. Yeah. And I get that the idea of someone that wants to sell Weetabix wants to align your attitudes to breakfast and eating Weetabix. I get that. That's about the commercial art of making money. But where does that then step into propaganda and then step into manipulation and mind washing and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
To get people to, it's like, if you think the same way that I do, then you're all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas actually, maybe if you think differently to me, we've actually got a fertile soil to grow some stuff in, because we can argue it and talk it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. Where next? I was trying to think of examples of people out there that are good at changing people's minds for better.
Well, I think that one of the good examples is old Farage.
Well, he's one, isn't he? Because for better or for worse, good old Nige.
Yeah, good old Nige.
He's not Cockney, I don't know why I said that. But he's very persuasive, isn't he? And he's obviously, there are a lot of other politicians, perhaps some that you could compare to Nigel Farage, although he's a bit of a pound shop.
Well, he's
very good at making the arguments for, and he's obviously he's almost not single-handedly, but he almost single-handedly got this EU referendum and convinced
enough
17 million people to vote for it.
I'm unashamedly.
You've got to kind of admire that, haven't you?
I'm a Remainer. I'm not a Ramona. I'm a Remainer, because I think that as groups of people, we need to come together and not separate. And so, as far as I'm concerned, I am a European, but I'm also a part of the human race. I'm not kind of English, British, United Kingdom. I'm a human being, and all are welcome here, kind of thing. The issue about...
Well, you're Irish anyway, so you're an immigrant.
Well, no, I'm a real mixture. If you go back in my family, you've got Jewish, Irish, Negro and Chinese fairly closely in.
Yeah.
You know, they're all in there. You can't abuse anybody without affecting me, really.
Just go text me, Dad. But you can carry on chatting. But yeah, what is it about Farage then,
The issue about Farage, the classic was, he managed to align people's attitudes to the concept that this amount of money that was written on the side of his bus, I can't remember how much it was, that was going to go back into the NHS if we came out of Europe.
Yeah.
In the end, he turned around and said, oh, actually, no, that's not right, that's not true.
The very next morning, yeah.
So he actually managed to realign a whole load of attitudes that certainly in some part played towards people voting in certain ways.
Mm.
Yeah. And I guess that attitude alignment like that isn't a lot different to advertising. Propaganda and advertising are the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working to change people's attitudes to get them to do and be what we want them to be.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the American election. It's always I always like to look at the American elections in terms of how they, the design of things. And Obama's campaign was brilliant in terms of design, the artwork that he did, and the fonts that he used. And Hillary Clinton was very similar, and if, she did all right. To be fair, she got a lot of votes. Mm. She got a lot more than Trump. Even she just didn't quite.
It was the system.
The system.
Wasn't it?
Well, she didn't realise the system, and she didn't campaign in certain states where she should have. Yada yada. But I think there's also there's almost a sense that from design perspective that it was a bit too polished in some ways, because I looked at Trump's design and his website and his caps with all that, and it was the typefaces weren't quite right. But I think in some ways it kind of people liked that because it didn't look
slick.
Slick, and people had had enough of slick, and they, you know, that's the kind of politics we don't want anymore. Same in the EU referendum, really, because the Remain stuff was came through my door, and it's like, well, that looks nice, that's cool, in terms of design, not talking about content. And the Leave stuff, and the stuff you see from UKIP, in fact, have you ever seen it, a UKIP leaflet, and the colours, pink or purple and yellow, it's just disgusting, horrible.
Mm.
But, it's got that air of unprofessionalism, and the rogue outsider, you know, that ducking and diving and all that.
Yeah.
And I think that is quite a little interesting insight. So I wonder with the next general election in 6 weeks, how things will be done.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that comes out in the research when you're looking at how people's attitudes can be realigned, there's quite a lot of stuff about juries and how when a jury sit, 12 men good and true sit down.
Have you ever been on a jury? Are you
I haven't actually done it.
In all your years?
No, which is weird, isn't it? All the places I've lived, I've never been asked.
Wow.
Yeah, which I may care about.
Yeah, I haven't either. I mean, I don't even know if my dad might have. My mum don't think has. I don't know if any of my pals... No, my pal has, I think, one of my friends.
Yeah.
But it'd be quite an interesting thing to go through, as long as it wasn't too... Didn't take up 6-9 months, I guess, but...
But then who sways the alignment of the jury? You know, I guess, the court has something to do with that, doesn't it? And the evidence that's given. But then when they all retire and have to consider their verdict, I assume, from bits I've seen, that the evidence kind of sways them backwards and forwards. Like, one minute they're all saying guilty, and then it's innocent. And it's like, how do you get to that point of alignment?
Well, if you Google attitude alignment, the top hit that I saw anyway was a kind of a legal website, and I didn't look into it too far.
That was the Keen one.
But there's a lot of legal stuff there about attitude alignment. Because I don't know if it's just... I've seen a lot of American movies and TV shows where they seem to be able to select a jury and kind of say, no, I don't want that person or that person. I want you. I don't know if that's how it works in the UK as well, actually.
No, I don't think so. You're just allocated.
Where they're trying to find a jury that they think will align properly for their... I don't know who gets to pick it or what have you.
Not British, though.
Making a Murderer on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen or heard of that. It's it's an 8-part documentary, but based on a real case. Incredible, legal story. Unbelievable, really.
Mm.
And it really happened. But another one, which is going to be my resource, actually, is a film called 12 Angry Men. It's a classic movie from the 50s with Henry Fonda.
Is it black and white?
It is black and white, yeah. Mm. And it is just that. Well, 12 angry men on the jury, and it's basically the whole movie is set in the jury's room after the court case is finished. And without giving it away too much, it's basically you can sneeze.
Bless my soul.
Bless you. It's a really hot room. It's a kind of hot, stuffy day. It seems like a really simple case. Open shut, young lad definitely did it. All the evidence seems to point against him. He's going to go again. He's going to blow. There you go. You're going to lose it.
They come in threes.
And they go around the room like this 10 minutes into the movie, and they go, guilty, and they're all like, easy. I want to go home. And then the guy in the end, Henry Fonda, goes, not guilty. And then for the next hour and 20,
right,
he has to try and convince them all to. Oh, he's going to go again, folks. No, I think he's going to leave you high.
Headed off at the pass.
What do you mean, head it off? You want to sneeze? It's nothing more frustrating.
Yeah, I was taught this trick about if you hold your nose and you waggle your tongue on your top palate.
So what are you doing?
You confuse your system, isn't it?
Anyway. Anyway, Henry Fonda, his job is to convince the rest of the jury that he's not guilty. And, I mean, I won't give it away, but he's quite successful. Four, surely not. Waggling his tongue. Anyway, so that is a really good example, that movie. Fiction, yeah, but of how someone like that... And he's not... He kind of convinces people not by kind of stomping his feet and saying, "You can't go till we do it." He's quite reasonable and rational. And it's just it's an amazing movie. You got to see it. It might even be on YouTube, like, for free, because it's such an old movie. It's probably on there. You can just watch it on your phone anytime. But yeah, I was trying to think, what can we learn from how Henry Fonda does it? And how Nigel Farage does it, or other politicians. How do they convince people? Flipping heck, this is a bad sneeze attack, this, isn't it?
It's clever, though, isn't it? the thing that I'm always fascinated by, 100 years ago, I had a job doing door-to-door selling with an American plastics company. And there were guys called the Clean Easy Man who would go around.
Oh, yeah, I know what Clean Easy. Yeah.
They used to go around with a suitcase full of stuff to sell to housewives. And successful Clean Easy Men were people who could knock on a door, could read the personality in front of them, and present their spiel for their product in such a way they'd make a sale.
Yeah.
And what they're doing, if you think about the same issue, they're trying to get the person to align, or they're trying to align with the person. So there's that identity of, like, yeah, you know, I need to make this sale. Yes, you need to buy my stuff, or I must have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And good Clean Easy Men were good communicators.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah. I mean, you have that kind of typical image of a pushy salesman that you kind of don't like, but you may buy something from.
Yeah.
But a really good salesperson, it's almost like...
Seduction.
Yeah, seduction, isn't it? And you're kind of enjoying the whole process, really, and then he comes to the climax and, yeah, I'll take it!
I'll have two.
I'll have two. It's a real art form, isn't it, sales?
Yeah, magical. Magical. When you get people that really understand sales, very often they're better psychologists than psychologists because they really understand people.
Yeah. Just seeing a 12 Angry Men full movie.
So you found it.
Is on YouTube. Get it while you can before it's taken off, guys.
Yeah.
There's a couple of places, actually. Yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Really good, but I mean...
sounds good.
Have you got a resource as well? Or is there
my resource for the week is this piece of research by Chelsea Reed, and it's about couples and how attitudes in couples change. I always think of it a bit like grooming, which always sounds a bit negative, but that sense of as we groom each other into providing for our needs, we look at this kind of attitude alignment.
Yeah.
And when a couple are aligned well, they're very much an us.
Mm.
You know, they've moved together, as opposed to it being me with my sidekick kind of thing. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in summary, about this kind of... If someone is out there listening now, hopefully there is, otherwise we've just wasted our time for the last half an hour. But... who's kind of had this sudden realisation that they're alike. And I guess initially we do need to have a look in the mirror, don't we, and wonder.
Yeah.
Even you and I need to just have a little think about
where
our attitudes and certain things we do in our life, whether they're healthy or not. But that comes to the point of awareness, doesn't it?
But if our whole mindfulness work and live in the present is about people being able to learn to observe what it is that they're doing. So if I can observe what I think, I can observe what I feel, I can observe what I do, then I'm starting to become aware of if my attitudes are being aligned, because it happens at that kind of unconscious level. But if I can become aware of it, I've then got a choice. Do I actually want my attitudes to be aligned that way?
Mm.
And it's like, how many times does someone join a workforce which is full of people that are maybe really negative, and they think, "Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay positive." And then within a period of time, they suddenly hear themselves saying those negative things that everybody else is saying.
Yeah.
You know, as we start to align with those attitudes or beliefs.
Yeah. Okay. You know? Interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting topic, isn't it? We feel like we could talk on this one for a good long while.
Yeah. Yeah. But the more we look at it, the more I see it going on all around us.
Yeah.
And I know that we're now going to have an alignment fest going on is that there's going to be, you know, a guy's going to knock on people's front doors and he's going to be selling this political party, and he wants to know whether he can get you to align with his ideas.
Yeah, I know, and it's going to be all over our Facebook and Twitter pages, and I've already started with my confirmation bias, is the term I've heard, in terms of the type of news that we read, and we seek out news that, you know, confirms our...
Yeah.
Our views, and I'm guilty of that. The journalists I follow online and the stuff I retweet. So I think I need to personally follow one or two journalists as well that just give the other angle, just so I can at least be open to the idea of maybe, because maybe the other side is right, you know, flipping heck, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think it is.
But do you view it? I mean, certainly papers, newspapers have an alignment in different ways. Yeah. Do you think that's true of the national news services like the BBC or CNN? Or Sky?
Well, no, I see plenty of people whinging about the BBC in particular in terms of... But I see it from both sides. I see myself as quite as kind of a down-the-middle, centrist, politically chap. So I see the BBC as a really good thing because I can see, from my point of view, I see people on the right saying they want it destroyed because... the left gets too much coverage. And I see people on the left, Corbyn fans, screaming at the BBC saying they hate it because they don't give Corbyn enough of a run. So I can see on both sides that when you, and I'm sitting in the middle, quite happy, getting a good sense of balance from the Beeb and CNN. But then I see the cover of the Daily Mail this morning with Mrs. May portrait, and what was it? Destroy the Saboteurs or whatever, or Crush the Saboteurs was the headline.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a saboteur, so that's aimed at me because I want to halt Brexit, ideally, or at least, which is probably more realistic, have a kind of a smooth way out so that we're not upsetting our lovely neighbours too much. Mm. So I'm a saboteur, so the Daily Mail hates me.
Straight away.
And I'm happy, healthy British citizen trying to do the right thing.
Does that mean that if a junta, a regime, takes over a country, that if you're not prepared to align with the new attitudes of that country... that you then become one of them, not one of us, so you then have to be imprisoned because you're...
Maybe. How far am I willing to go to?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Or maybe I should just... I was trying to think about some way maybe we could all... people in the world could chip in, or nationally, to a little fund, and then we could go in and buy, first thing in the morning, all the copies of the Daily Mail.
And burn them.
Oh, yeah, not burn them, because that's climate change. You can't put all that into the air. Bury it, or, I don't know, pulp it. Recycle it, obviously. That's it, what I was thinking.
I think that...
you see all the old guys going in at 9 o'clock trying to find their papers, and where's the Daily Mail? Where's it gone?
Imagine if in every constituency there was an independent candidate who was supporting Brexit. Think they'd all get in?
Maybe.
That would change Parliament a lot.
That would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, we could go on and on, and I'm sure we'll be talking politics and coming up... episodes.
We will.
So apologies in advance, but hey ho. Well, get your own podcast if you don't like it.
Stop aligning with us.
All right. Done the resource.
Yep.
livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. Don't forget clearmindcushion.com. Use the tag self-help, all one word. If meditation is your thing or you're thinking about getting into it, you should grab one of these cushions from Chris. Fantastic. Yep. They really help your posture and give you another excuse not... or to start meditating, like I did, but...
But you have to be persistent and consistent is the deal.
Yeah,
that's the deal.
I need to realign my... What's it called? What's the title of this show?
Your attitudes.
Attitude, that's it.
It wasn't my attitude, it was your attitude.
All right, Sean, you have a good week.
And you.
See you, folks.
See ya.
Bye.